Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! Ha-ha! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Finals!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah. Yeah!
Welcome to a brand new week of Drive Time Sports. KOAL 103.9 FM and 750 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Always happy to be along with you. I'm set to go. Brand new week. NBA playoff action is officially underway. The NHL playoffs are underway. We have Major League Baseball. It's a great time to talk national sports. And, of course, it's always great to talk local sports, which we will do on the show today. Coach Scott Mattson of the USU Eastern Golden Eagles is going to join us. Yeah, he's going to come up here in about 10 minutes or so. We'll talk with Coach Mattson about how the Golden Eagles fared traveling to Southern Nevada over the weekend. That's a tough place to get a victory. One of the best JUCO baseball teams in the country. USU Eastern came close. Lost a one-run affair in the finale, lost by a couple of runs at another showdown. They come out on the short end, four-game sweep. They are now 8-20 in conference play, tied right down the middle with CSI for fifth and sixth place, and that series is coming up this weekend. Final four-game set between the two teams. Coach Mattson will talk about that in just a bit. Also, we'll get you a NASCAR update. Yesterday on KOAL, Carl Edwards taking on the checkered flag. Dale Earnhardt Jr., delivers his second runner-up finish of the year. Boy, he had a tremendous come-from-behind effort. Ran into some problems early, was a couple of laps down, fights all the way to get back to number two, loses by a little under a second. We'll talk about that as well on the show today. Plus, we'll get you the recap on everything that happened local sports-wise over the weekend. Let's dive into it. We'll start by talking NBA basketball. We're going to talk a lot of NBA. No huge surprise as far as game ones go. Although I'll tell you, I'm disappointed in Toronto. That's a franchise, that's a team that I have sat here and defended all year long. Every sports talk show that I've been a guest on, I've raved about Toronto and how this team is finally ready to make that leap and maybe even push Cleveland for an Eastern Conference crown. Maybe. That maybe looks doubtful after what we saw over the weekend. I just can't believe how Toronto continues to lay an egg at this stage in the season year after year after year, and they have already forfeited home court advantage to Indiana, who's not a great team. Paul George is pretty good, and if you watched game one, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But Toronto continues to just play poor basketball in the postseason. Outside of that, everything really went accordingly. Golden State, they're going to just destroy Houston. We know that OKC is going to destroy Dallas. Darren Williams looks horrible, by the way. I know Jazz fans don't have a lot to smile about because they are not in the postseason, and they had an epic collapse down the final six, seven games of the regular season. But at least when watching the Dallas Mavericks play, you look at D. Will. You have to smile a little bit, don't you? This is a guy, he's not even a former shell of himself. He no longer even resembles that point guard that played in Utah. Doesn't even resemble that guy. That's who ran Jerry Sloan out. That's the guy that delivered the final blow to Jerry Sloan's tenure in Utah. That guy. And Jazz fans can, well, you can relish in that. The fact that he's bad. D. Will doesn't even look remotely like the D. Will that played here in Utah. And then you look at the San Antonio-Memphis series. That one's going to be quick. I feel bad for Memphis. That's a team with a lot of promise at the beginning of the season. They had the bodies, but no Conley, no Gasol. I mean, they're just beaten up. They're in the playoffs because of their stellar play early on. It's going to be a quick series there as well. We'll talk more NBA basketball coming up in just a bit. How about this story? Sources say that the Minnesota Timberwolves have high interest and Jeff Van Gundy and Tom Thibodeau. Now, apparently today the Warriors are, or excuse me, the Timberwolves are scheduled to meet with Jeff Van Gundy as they continue to move their search forward for a new coach and also looking for someone to handle basketball operations. Over the weekend, they apparently met with Tom Thibodeau. They got it narrowed down between these two individuals. I don't think you can go wrong either way here. I will say this about Minnesota. That's a sought-after job. That's one of the best vacancies in the NBA right now, the Minnesota Timberwolves job. Give me that job. You look at some of the other coaching vacancies and maybe some of the other vacancies. The big topic is, will Byron Scott be back in L.A. next year? I don't want that job. Brooklyn, I don't want that job. No, give me the Minnesota job. That's a team with Andrew Wiggins who looks every bit as good as the number one pick in the draft a couple of years back. Karl Anthony Towns, who was fantastic this season as a rookie. He put up numbers from a rookie that we haven't seen since Shaq. You have Zach LaVine. You have Shabazz Muhammad, who can score the basketball. You got Gorgie Jang. Give me that job. Tom Thibodeau with that job could be deadly in 2 or 3 years. If Tom Thibodeau wants that job, you have to give it to him. You got a couple of bad contracts on the books. Ricky Rubio, a little overpaid. He's due to make $13 million next year and then $14 million the next two. Pekovic, a little overpaid. He's making $12 million the next 3 years. Outside of that, you got a clean slate on that roster. Because after next season, Kevin Martin's contract is off of the books. Kevin Garnett's contract is off of the books. Garnett may not even be back next year. And again, you look at that core. Wiggins, LaVine, Towns, Muhammad, Jang. Yeah, give me that job. I think Tom Thibodeau in Minnesota is a match made in heaven. And that's something that's being highly talked about right now. Apparently, they have already met with Thibodeau. If it comes down between those two, no disrespect to Van Gundy, give me Tom Thibodeau. Ask Chicago if they miss Tom Thibodeau. How'd that work out for Chicago? I know they had injuries, but see, the thing about the Bulls in the past, we were blaming Tom Thibodeau for the injuries. At least a lot of pundits were. Tom Thibodeau plays every game like it's Game 7 of the NBA Finals. And these players can't keep up with this grueling gauntlet that he puts them through. No Tom Thibodeau this year. Still had injuries to Jimmy Butler. Still had injuries to Pau Gasol. They're riddled with injuries. Chicago misses Tom Thibodeau. Go get that guy, Minnesota. I'm telling you right now, it's a match made in heaven. Also, some other news. Kawhi Leonard, he's back as the defensive player of the year. This upsets a lot of pundits. And I'm not sure why. Apparently, a lot of pundits thought that it should have been Draymond Green. Yeah. I'm fine with Kawhi Leonard getting the nod. Absolutely. He allowed the fewest points per game, or he's on the team that allowed the fewest points per game during the regular season. Jazz were second, by the way. The Spurs' defensive rating, 94.9. Goes to the best perimeter defender on that team. I have no problem with it. I think Kawhi Leonard's the best two-way player in the NBA today. Best two-way player in basketball. Give that guy the Defensive Player of the Year award, and they that's exactly what they did. Let's take a look at the NBA schedule. Tonight, we get Indiana at Toronto. We'll get Dallas at Oklahoma City and Houston at Golden State. All the action starts at 5 p.m. on NBA TV with Indiana at Toronto. The Raptors better show up and play tonight. Dallas at OKC at 6 p.m., and then we get Houston at Golden State at 8:30. Excuse me. That's the schedule for the NBA postseason. Let's take a look at Major League Baseball. We have one final already. Toronto getting the best of Boston earlier today. Full slate of baseball games pretty much every day. Toronto again topping Boston 4-3. Still to come today, 5:05. The Mets will take on the Phillies. The Rockies taking on the Reds. The Nationals are on the road to take on the Marlins. The Cardinals will play host to the Cubs, White Sox playing host to the Angels, Twins playing host to the Brewers, and the Diamondbacks on the road to take on the Giants in the nightcap. That's the schedule for Major League Baseball. I mentioned the NHL because we're at the postseason as far as hockey goes. I know hockey's one of those niche sports. A lot of people don't really take notice of hockey until we get to the Stanley Cup playoffs. Right now, the Capitals hold a 2-0 lead on Philly. We get Game 3 tonight. It's start time for that one is at 5 p.m. Dallas at Minnesota. The Stars lead this one 2-0. It's an 6:30 p.m. start time. And then the Kings and the San Jose Sharks. Sharks lead the series 2-0. Kings and the Sharks go to battle at 8:30. The last time these two teams met up in the opening round, the Sharks had a 3-0 lead on the Kings. The Kings managed to come back and get the victory in 7. That's what's happening in the national sports scene. We're going to pause for just a moment. When we return, we'll get you caught up on the local sports scene, plus Coach Scott Mattson will join us, and we'll talk a little NASCAR and NBA playoffs on the show today. It's Drive Time Sports, KOAL 103.9 FM and 750 AM.
Hot wings, pizza, fried chicken. What's your favorite snack while watching TV? No matter what you like to snack on, Smith's Food and Drug has you covered. Stop into the Hot Deli where you'll find a lot of prepared foods ready to enjoy. Barbecued rotisserie and fried chicken, corn dogs, potato salads, pasta salads, and baked beans. Fresh sliced meats and cheeses are just some of the great things that you'll find at your neighborhood Smith's Food and Drug. Check Smith's out today and remember the short line guarantee. If there are two or more people in line, Smith's opens another check stand.
Crab fishing, one of the deadliest jobs in the country. Fishermen go toe-to-toe with Mother Nature using 700-pound steel traps that are dropped 400 feet below the ocean surface to capture this delicacy. But we live in the desert, and there's no crab anywhere.
Until now. It's the brand new Crab Oscar Pizza at Big Don's in Price. This creation is a white sauce-based pizza topped with bacon, onions, asparagus, and crab. Get yours today at Big Don's, located at 170 West 100 North in Price. Call 637-DONS for takeout or delivery.
The Criminal Justice Program at USU Eastern is one of the most popular programs on the campus. The criminal justice field offers a wide variety of job options with this degree, not just in law enforcement and corrections, but also careers in the court system and attorneys or at their law offices. Their classes are generally smaller and they have the lowest tuition rates in the state. There is also financial aid available for those that qualify. For more information on the Criminal Justice Program at USU Eastern, contact Scott Henry at 435-613-5135.
Reporting from the KOAL 103.9 FM newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. The Embry Spartan baseball team lost a heartbreaker on Friday, this time falling to Gunnison 2-1 on the road. Tell Gardner received the loss on the mound for Embry as the Spartans accumulated just 2 hits during the 7-inning contest. Trailing 2-0 going into the 6th inning, Embry scored 1 run, but that's as close as it would get. Bryce Dugmore recorded a triple in the setback. Parks Bartholomew was the winning pitcher for Gunnison. He helped his cause by registering a double as Gunnison accumulated 5 hits during the contest. Now 1-4 in league play, the Embry Spartans trail San Juan by 2 games for the final playoff spot coming out of the 2A East Division. Embry will look to get back on the winning track this week when they continue league play on the road against North Sevier tomorrow. Start time for this game is set for 3:30. Following Tuesday's game, the team will then play host to the Union Cougars in a non-league tilt Wednesday before welcoming in North Sevier for the second and final matchup on Thursday. We stick with baseball, but move over to the junior college ranks. The USU Eastern Golden Eagles suffered a 4-game sweep at the hands of Southern Nevada in Henderson over the weekend. On Friday, the Golden Eagles suffered a 10-0 loss and a 4-0 loss. They battled back hard on Saturday, making it competitive, but losing the first of a doubleheader 4-1, and then the second 5-3. USU Eastern is now 8-20 overall in conference play. That puts them in a tie with the College of Southern Idaho for fifth place in the conference. The two teams will go toe-to-toe later on this week. Those games will take place in Twin Falls, Idaho, with just a few weeks remaining in conference play. We move over to high school softball, and Friday, the Embry Lady Spartans suffered another setback, this time falling to Gunnison in just 3 innings by a final score of 15-0. Emily Brackett and Joshua Minor each hit a home run for Gunnison in the shutout victory. The Lady Spartans, who started off fairly well throughout the regular season, have encountered some struggles as far as league play goes. Embry right now is in last place in the 2A Central, sitting at 0-5. The top four squads will go to the tournament. Emory right now just a game behind North Sevier. They'll look to change their fortunes this week when they return to the field. The next outing will be tomorrow on the road against North Sevier. Start time for this contest is set for 3:30 p.m. The team will then meet Grand at home on Thursday at another league contest. Again, that game will be set for 3:30 p.m. We move over to soccer. Friday, the Garden Dino boys squad earned a monumental victory as they topped the Richfield Wildcats 3-1. Goals from Daniel Vega, Jordan Hunsaker, and Jesus Acosta helped the Dinos grab the win over the Wildcats and sweep the season set. Garvin won for the third consecutive time, and with only three games remaining on the soccer slate, Garvin is in prime position to possibly grab a Region 12 crown. The lone league loss so far this year for Carbon came against Canyon View, who holds first place right now in the division at 5-0. Carbon will have an opportunity to get revenge and at least force a tie if they can win out. They'll meet Canyon View in the season finale. The next outing for Carbon will be Tuesday. Tomorrow, they'll travel on the road to take on the Juab Wasps. And it's time for the 6th Annual United Way of Eastern Utah Golf Tournament. This will be held on April 23rd at the Carbon Country Club. This event is a four-person scramble, and the cost is $300 per team. There will be a continental breakfast and lunch. Don't miss out on this fun event. To register, just contact the Carbon Country Club at 637-2388. You can find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting from the KOAL 103.9 FM Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
Tony Bassel GM is your home for a great deal. The time is now to get 15% off MSRP on most remaining 15 model year new vehicles at Tony Bassel GM. It only happens once a year. Get down here and take advantage of the savings. Offer ends on April 18th. Save thousands and drive a new 2015 vehicle off the lot today at Tony Bassel GM, 1355 South Carbon Avenue. Offers based on OAC, see dealer for details.
Utah farmers have been using a secret ingredient called Humate on their soils for decades. The Rose Bowl discovered it 10 years ago. Your neighbor with the deep green lawn, they're all using Live Earth Humate Soil Conditioner. Apply it when you fertilize to help build humus in your soil. Humates add stable carbon and organic acids that break up clay so water and fertilizer can get in, feed the roots, and keep the grass green and growing. Don't have the greenest lawn in the neighborhood? Spread some kid and pet safe Live Earth Humate Soil Conditioner. Available at your local IFA.
In the Castle Country, also available at Howa & Sons, Castle Valley Co-op, Magnuson Lumber, and Jones Ace Hardware.
There's no crying in baseball!
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss the play ball!
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Holy cow!
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 103.9 FM and 7:50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. We're going to get this new week rolling with an edition of the Coach's Corner. Over the weekend, the USU Eastern Golden Eagles, they went out on their second consecutive road trip. Now it's the second of five straight to end the season. Brutal five-week stretch for USU Eastern. Unfortunately, they fell victim to a sweep at the hands of Southern Nevada. Lost the first two games 10-0 and 4-0. USU Eastern battled back, really made things respectable on Saturday and put themselves in position to grab a couple of victories. They suffered a loss 5-3 and then another one 4-1. And now the team tied with the College of Southern Idaho for 5th and 6th place in the conference, sitting 8-20 overall in conference play. Joining us right now over the phone to talk a bit about it, we have Coach Scott Mattson. Coach, I know you're a tad bit under the weather, but I do appreciate you taking out the time to join us today.
Oh, no worries, Jordan. We enjoyed being on.
Coach, we'll start by talking about this past weekend. We knew it was going to be difficult. You guys got to go on the road. Anytime you play either of the two Nevada schools, it's always difficult. We know what they bring to the table. Unfortunately, we come back victims of a four-game sweep.
Yeah, you know, it was tough. That was our first sweep of the year. We made it through the whole first half without getting swept by one team. And going in, I mean, those guys are tough at home. We knew that. We knew going in, I think they only lost like four or five games at home over the course of the year. We went in and I started Colton Hill, who he's been struggling a little bit, but man, he went out through a complete game, gave up one earned run, and we just kind of made some mistakes early. And against a team like that, you can't afford to give up any mistakes. And, you know, when we did, we didn't get to their ace. We didn't put up any runs, but he came out and threw really well for us.
Now, the first set of games didn't necessarily go very well for you guys. Shut out both games, but the team did battle back the second day. And I guess, again, it shows the resiliency of this team, Coach, because Southern Nevada, they beat you 4-0, 10-0. You guys come back on Saturday, had an opportunity to win both games.
We did. You know, even on Friday, we left runners on base quite a bit. We just never got those big hits. And then Saturday, I mean, we started hitting a little bit better. We kind of had a talk and changed our approach a bit just coming into that Saturday. And they did a good job of following it, but we just couldn't quite get those big hits to get us those runs that, and when we needed them. And, you know, our pitching threw well all weekend long, and it wasn't just the starter that threw well. Our relievers came in and did a good job throwing. I mean, it was a good team effort, and to go in there and play against a team like that, building that confidence really gave us a little something to carry into next week.
Christian Bonilla gets a loss in that last game, but you guys kept it within, you know, again, within striking distance. You hold them to five runs, you give up nine hits. Coach, typically when you, against anybody in conference, if you hold them to five runs, more than not, you're going to win that game, it seems like.
You know, and that's kind of what I preach to my kids. If we're within three, this weekend was the first time, well, I guess the first two times that we were within three and lost the game. Every other time we've been within three, we found a way to come back and win it. And, you know, and I credit their reliever, their closer named Alex Hutt. He set the record for Southern Nevada with 11 saves against us on that last game on Saturday. And he does a good job pitching 93 to 95 with about a 85-mile-an-hour slider that's tough to read out of his hand. But, you know, he came in and shut the door, and I kind of knew we had to get to the reliever before him in order to win those games, and we just couldn't quite do it.
Yeah, but you actually answered the next question I was going to ask you. When you go up against a closer like that, it's not automatic that he's going to come up with a save, but obviously when you look at the scouting report and the players, they know these guys, especially when you're going into your second go-around. Is it almost a mental thing at that point when you have somebody that's so good in coming to close out games that it almost can shut down your offense mentally?
Yeah, you know, and that's what I was worried about as we went into that second day. But our kids went in there, and nobody went down without swinging. I mean, it wasn't just pure intimidation. The kids, he's got to be about 6'6", 240, so he's a giant standing on the mound anyways. But he comes out, throws hard, and it's just real effortless throwing, just nice and loose, and it just jumps on you, you know. And we put the ball in play, made them make plays, and they did.
Now, you guys have been ahead of CSI throughout the entire conference season, Coach. You guys have always had a little advantage. If it's 1, 2, 3 games, you guys have always been ahead of them. Now we're tied, both sitting at 8-20. Still not out of the question that you could climb up to at least that 4 seed, but setting the stage for this weekend, I mean, it's a 4-game set with CSI, and you guys share the identical records.
Yeah, you know, it's a big weekend for us, but the way we've thrown the last weekend and the way we start hitting coming out of the last weekend, I'm looking forward to this. I mean, it's a big weekend for us to go in, but my kids are confident that they can go in and come out of there with a few W's.
Again, our guest right now is Coach Scott Mattson of the USU Eastern Golden Eagles. Coach, we'll talk about CSI, a team that you guys are very familiar with. Is this the squad that you feel most comfortable, I guess, going up against? I know that Colorado is a team you guys had some success against. Salt Lake, you've shown flashes of being able to knock off the team and hang with them. But CSI seems like a team that maybe you guys would even be favored going up against the squad.
You know, and I feel that way. They do have some good players, though. I know they have some good arms that come out, and all it takes is a guy to come out and have a good day, and we'll lose, you know. But they kind of fit well with us because they throw a lot of fastballs, and we seem to hit the fastball fairly well. You know, our kids are aggressive, and then our pitchers did a good job of controlling their second and third pitches, and that's what CSI really struggled with, is hitting those curveballs and changeups. And I think if we can continue to do that, we should be the favorites coming in into this weekend. And, you know, if we don't walk out with at least 3 wins, I'll be a little bit disappointed.
How important is it to stay away from the 6th spot going into the conference tournament? Like, how much emphasis can we really put on a series like this as far as the difference between 6 and 5?
You know, I mean, either way, it doesn't really change it, because you'll either play the 3 seed or the 4 seed, because the 1 and 2 have the byes. And against those teams, Salt Lake and Colorado, the way we've played, I'd almost rather play Colorado at this point, but I know my kids feel like they could go out and beat Salt Lake at any time, and that's really the main difference between fifth and sixth at this time.
Coach, let's talk about some individuals on this team. You mentioned Will Berlin to me off of the air. Here's the guy that's leading the team in hits. He's got about 33 hits on the season, batting 320. Suffered an injury.
Yeah, he did. You know, he went 4-for-4 and then came up against that closer in the last inning with two outs. The second strike, he gave it a check swing, and the ball caught him right on the end of the thumb, and he got an x-ray out to the hospital yesterday, and I guess it was broken. And from what the doctor was telling me, it's about a 6-week injury, which just puts him just past the date of coming back. But I mean, it hurt us. It got us pretty good because he was just catching fire again, and he'd had a couple weekends where, you know, he hadn't really done a whole lot for us. But that last day, he was hitting everything they were throwing at him. And so it's going to take its toll on us. But we've had some kids step up. Colton Hill came in hitting. You know, he did a good job against their pitching staff on Saturday after he pitched a complete game on Friday. So he's going to be a player that hopefully we can get back before the 6 weeks. But either way, he's going to put a dent in our team.
That's typically what this takes, about 5 to 6 weeks for this injury to heal?
That's what the doctor told me yesterday over the phone, that it's right where the tendon connects to the thumb.
So with that being said, losing a guy like Berlin, where do you go to next as far as the power and the consistency in the order?
You know, we really have to have certain guys start stepping up. Nate Hedberg has kind of struggled off and on, but he's gone 1-for-3, you know, 1-for-4, just stayed like that. Hasn't really just been that dominant hitter he was at the beginning of the year. We need him to step up and really come by. But, I mean, he's a freshman, and we kind of figured he'd have the up-and-down season, but he's had more ups and downs, and we've kind of rode him, and now it's time he's got to get going again. And then Austin Pitcher has done a good job filling in that role at first base, you know, and he's come up with some big hits, kind of struggled the last few weeks, but starting to put the ball in play a little bit more and more. And then Colton Hill, when he's not pitching, he's done a great job coming in and hitting, and that's kind of who we're going to have to rely on now.
You mentioned the freshmen and how they really have to step up. Two of those being Austin Pitcher and Colton Hill. Are they two of the most or two of the more versatile players on your team?
You know, they are. They are. Between those two and Bennett Bradford, he's done a good job pitching for us and then comes in and hits. And he's kind of struggled ever since he had that knee injury a couple of weeks back. He struggled hitting a little bit more, but his pitching has become great over the last little bit. And down there, when he pitched that second game, we had a rain delay right as he went out there. It started to hail. He gave up one hit, and then we ended up sitting for a half an hour, and he went out and I think threw one more inning and just couldn't quite get back in the swing of things. So kind of a bad deal for him over the weekend. And then if we really want to win, he'll have to start hitting. And then another guy that's really stepped up lately is Brandon Irie. You know, just a guy that's put good time in before practice, and he's putting a lot of balls in play and had some key hits for us over the weekend.
At this stage in the season, Coach, especially with so many freshmen that have played key roles, how big of a factor is fatigue? Because everybody, playing high school baseball is not even remotely close to playing junior college baseball.
Right. You know, and we've kind of preached it throughout the year that, hey, we're going to sit you this game. Understand we have 56 total, so hopefully our kids aren't worn too much by now. You know, I mean, we've just had some freak accidents. Nothing's been as far as muscles, but it's more we've had balls hit us and break our fingers and stuff. I mean, just those accidents that you're thinking, man, those would happen once to a team, and they seem to happen to us 4 or 5 times a year.
Yeah, it seems like it's a recurring thing.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, it's really frustrating because you finally get guys back to where they want to be, and then just something like that happens and ruins it, and then we end up starting over again. So hopefully we can get through the next 3 or 4 weeks with no more injuries.
If there is one, and I know you're not a moral victory kind of guy, Coach, but you lose 4 games against a very good team. As you make that long bus drive home, what are some of the things that you've marked down as positives for this team that you can kind of look to build off of against CSI this weekend?
You know, our pitching went out and threw really well against probably one of the best hitting teams I've seen in the last 12 to 13 years. They came out and they challenged, and, you know, they did a good job of controlling their hitters. They didn't give up one home run to a team that had 45 of them, I believe, going into the weekend. And you know what? They just kept the ball down, got a lot of ground balls, forced those guys to hit more ground balls, score runs. And the only thing that really got us was errors and a few walks here and there. But, I mean, it wasn't like the beginning of the year when we had so many walks getting on and we were giving up 4 runs as a shot. And then the other thing that I really take off this weekend is coming out hitting the way we did. I mean, that last game, we out-hit them. They scored more than us, but we did out-hit them. And you know what? We even hit some balls hard all weekend long that were right at people. Austin Gertzing couldn't seem to buy a hit the last day, but, you know, he hit balls every at-bat hard right at people.
Well, Coach, it is always fun to catch up with the team. Thank you again for the time. Best of luck as you guys go into a very important week against CSI.
All right, General, I appreciate it.
Coach Scott Mattson of the USU Eastern Golden Eagles. We're going to pause for just a moment. When we come back, we're going to move over to the national sports scene. We're going to spend a lot of time today talking about the NBA playoffs. They're in full swing as we hit the middle of April. We have game ones in the book all the way around, and we'll talk about that when we return.
You've worked and cooked all week long. Insist that your other half takes you to the Cowboy Kitchen in Wellington for the Saturday night special. This is Ty at the Cowboy Kitchen. Each Saturday, we offer a different five-course meal consisting of appetizer, soup, salad, entree, and dessert for only $24.25. Want a night out in the middle of the week? Every Wednesday, I create a unique pasta dish complete with soup, salad, and bread for only $14.95. At the Cowboy's Kitchen, we serve breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week. We open at 7 a.m. and close at 10 p.m., close at 11 p.m. Friday and Saturday.
Do your employees get frustrated waiting for their computers to load? Does it take forever to upload photo or video files to your website? Emory Telecom's Extreme Internet is a surefire way to increase your employees' happiness, as well as your customers. Emory Telecom has internet at just the right speeds for business with 3 employees or max speeds for larger businesses. Ethernet connections are available for businesses with multiple locations. Don't let your slow internet cause your workforce to become unproductive or unprofitable. Call for Extreme Internet from Emory Telecom today, 613-9605.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
It's time for a Drive Time Sports NASCAR update. And yesterday here on KOAL 103.9 FM and 7:50 AM, Carl Edwards took the checkered flag at the Food City 500 at Bristol Motor Speedway. Did it in dominating fashion. The pole sitter led 276 out of the 500 laps, topping runner-up Dale Earnhardt Jr. to the finish line by 0.7 seconds. Following the race, Edwards sat down with the media and talked about the victory.
It was a really great race for us. I mean, it started on Friday. The car was started this winter building these cars, but the car was really fast in qualifying. We got the first pit stall, and that meant a lot to the guys. They were ready to put last week immediately behind them, and they did. They were just flawless on pit road. The car was really fast, and Dave did a good job of managing everything. We didn't have any trouble, and really, it's just a testament to everybody at the shop and our whole team. It's really awesome to have a win so that now we can really have some fun and focus on this championship.
For the most part, it seemed like a near-perfect day for Carl Edwards, but he said at times during the race, he felt a little frustration. Fortunately, things happened to work out.
I never felt like it would be the end of it, but I was just telling Dave, there was one point when Kirk got by me on one of those restarts, I thought, man, I shouldn't have let him do that. I mean, he just really drove hard. He stepped it up and took advantage of me kind of sleeping there. So, but I think overall the whole day was a really good balance of being really aggressive and trying to make sure I didn't make mistakes. I thought it was a really good race. And, I mean, we're obviously sitting here with the trophy, but, I feel like we performed really well.
Runner-up Dale Earnhardt Jr. ran into some problems early on in the race, but managed to bounce back in a thrilling come-from-behind effort to grab second place. He talked about his performance.
Yeah, we got the Roush system on our cars for the stuck throttle issue, and just warming the brakes up, I engaged that system to kill the throttle. I was warming the brakes up like I always do, and apparently applied too much pressure, and it killed the motor. So we'll work on that and maybe raise that threshold a little bit because it was, I wasn't really using the throttle brake that much. But so I just needed to cycle the ECU to reset that. Came to pit road and did that. I probably could have done it on the track and saved ourselves a lot of trouble. But, you don't know what's going on at that particular point. And you listen to the first thing anybody tells you when it comes to direction. And the first thing my spotter said was, if I need to pit, I need to come on now. So we got on pit road, cycled it, lost a couple laps. Greg did a good job getting the wave arounds, knowing when to take them and stuff, and we got the lead, got it back on the lead lap. We had about a 10th place car. We weren't really that good all day. We tried, a setup that we never really ran here before, just trying to learn a little something going forward, and we'll go home and science it out a little bit. We got real lucky the last three restarts to be in the outside line. We restarted 10th, 6th, and 4th, and that, when you restart fourth, you're typically going to, come out in second place after that. So I was hoping we didn't have any more cautions after that. So it's good. We'll take it.
Kurt Busch finished in third, followed by Chase Elliott, Trevor Bayne, Matt Diabonadetto, Kevin Harvick, Clint Bowyer, Ryan Newman, and Joey Logano. Following the outcome of yesterday's race, Jimmy Johnson still sits atop of the standings. He's taken home the checkered flag twice this year. He scored 271 points. Kyle Busch is in second, followed by Kevin Harvick in third, Carl Edwards fourth, Brad Keselowski fifth, Denny Hamlin sixth, Joey Logano seventh, Dale Earnhardt Jr. eighth, Kurt Busch ninth, Martin Truex Jr. 10th, Austin Dillon 11th, Chase Elliott 12th, Jamie McMurray 13th, A.J. Allmendinger 14th, Casey Kane 15th, and Ryan Newman 16th. On the outside looking in is Ricky Stenhouse Jr. and Matt Kenseth. NASCAR Sprint Cup Series racing will make its return to KOAL on Sunday at Richmond International Raceway. The live race action will begin at 11 a.m. Remember to continue to follow NASCAR Sprint Cup Series racing all year long here on KOAL 103.9 FM at 7:50 a.m.
Being a sports fan can be painful. Whether you're participating in a sport,
my leg,
or cheering on your favorite team, your chance of injury is higher. Our local orthopedic surgeons, Dr. Scott Justison and Dr. Kelly Jensen, encourage all of you sports fanatics to stretch properly before either participating in a sport or if you're a passionate fan and you get a little too into the game. If you're injured, call 637-4800 for more information or to set up an appointment with either Dr. Justison or Dr. Jensen.
I've been working with this old dude. He has to be in his 50s. He asked me one day why I was walking so funny. I told him that I've always had a bad back, but yesterday I must have pulled something. He stopped me and took me to the office to fill out an injury report. How crazy was that? Then he told me to go see the doctor and ask for a referral to Castleview Physical Therapy. I did what the old dude said. Castleview Physical Therapy helped me so that I don't walk funny. And now I can work without pain. I guess old dudes do rule. And so does Castleview Physical Therapy.
There are few things that are as smooth as a drive to the basket for 2 points.
Bailey breaks Lucondo's ankle, drives for two, foul and one.
Experience that same feeling off the court in your automobile with a trip to J&D Automotive in Castle Dell. J&D Auto is number one in parts and service. So if your car is running rough and you need a diagnosis, or if you're in need of one specific part to finish the job yourself, head to J&D Automotive in Castle Dell.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750 and 103.9 FM, the play-by-play home of the USU Eastern Golden Eagles.
Welcome back to Drive Time Sports, KOAL 103.9 FM, 750 AM. We're back to talk some NBA playoff basketball. I get a kick out of this headline, Cleveland.com. The Detroit Pistons have awoken the Cleveland Cavaliers from their hibernation, and that spells trouble for them. Give me a break. Are you kidding? I'll tell you what's trouble. Trouble right now is Cleveland and that roster. That's trouble. Because there's no camaraderie on that team. There's no continuity. There's no chemistry. That's the trouble. Really? The Cleveland Cavaliers? A team with LeBron James, the best player in the world? A team with Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving, a team that was 2 wins away from an NBA championship last season, they have to be awoken by the 8th seed in the Eastern Conference, the Detroit Pistons, a team led by Andre Drummond and Tobias Harris. That has to awake the Cleveland Cavaliers. Are you kidding? I understand it's from a Cleveland website, but let's call it like it is. This team has serious issues right now. It took a brilliant performance from Kevin Love to get Cleveland a win in Game 1. Now, even if Cleveland would have lost yesterday, I still would have picked this team to come out. I expect the Cavaliers to have a 2-0 lead now going to the Palace of Auburn Hills after Game 2. Don't get me wrong. And I am in no way, shape, or form saying that this team cannot win the Eastern Conference again because they have the most talented roster front to back. But to claim that Detroit awoke the sleeping giant, I don't buy that. I don't buy that for a second. This team does not get along. And this team has obvious leadership issues. And it starts with LeBron James. He's not happy in Cleveland. This guy's frustrated. You can tell by watching Cleveland play. LeBron didn't play bad yesterday. He was 9 of 17 from the field, 11 assists, 6 boards. Did a great job of getting his teammates involved. And nobody appreciated that more than Kevin Love, who poured in 28 points and 13 boards. That's the Kevin Love that we've seen in Minnesota. That's the Kevin Love that Cleveland has to have to get to the NBA Finals once again. LeBron's tired. This guy has played a lot of extra basketball. He's looking to go to the NBA Finals for the sixth consecutive year. Think about that for a second. Six straight years in the NBA Finals? Hey, he's 2 of 4, I understand that, but he's played a lot of extra basketball, and you tack that on to all the international play in FIBA and the Olympics. The miles are adding up for a 31-year-old LeBron James. And LeBron James went back to Cleveland to win an NBA championship. And the frustration that LeBron shows on the court, like yesterday, he had some frustration with Kyrie Irving. It was plain as day. You could see it. The frustration that LeBron has is he knows that this team is not playing at a championship level. He knows what it takes to win an NBA championship. He's won 2 of them. And he knows that this team is not at that level yet. And the problem is, you're in the postseason now. You were the one seed in the Eastern Conference nearly by default, because the talent in the starting 5 of this roster is the best in the East. That's why Cleveland is the one seed. That's why they managed to hold off Toronto. That's why they managed to hold off Miami. The starting 5 is loaded. Now, I'll tell you this much. The team that I said at the beginning of the playoffs to watch out for, it's the Miami Heat. And I think that team could beat Cleveland. If they had Chris Bosh, I'd have no doubt. In fact, they would be my front runner if they had Chris Bosh. But LeBron James, he's a smart guy. LeBron knows what it takes to win an NBA championship. Again, he's been there. He's a 4-time MVP. He knows that Golden State is playing at a level that we have never watched before. He knows that San Antonio is lurking in the weeds, and they're a fantastic team defensively. He knows that Oklahoma City has 2 of the top 7 players in the league on their team. He knows that Miami is playing at a high level. And he knows that this team had some struggles with Toronto in the regular season. LeBron's aware of this. See, Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love, they can't possibly be on the same level mentally as LeBron when we're talking postseason basketball, because their experience is so limited in the postseason. LeBron's frustrated. And again, the point is, I look at this headline, and people in Cleveland really believe that that's all it's going to take. It's going to take Andre Drummond to come out and post a double-double, and Markieff Morris to score 20 points, and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope to score 21. That's what it's going to take to wake up this team. It's going to take a lot more than that to get through the Eastern Conference. Because despite the fact that Cleveland nearly got the one seed by default based on the talent in their starting 5, the East is getting better and better. Like, people were legitimately on the bandwagon with the Hornets, really thinking that the Hornets could do some major damage in the postseason, and they still could. People really believe that Boston and Atlanta can do some damage, and they can. Like, the East is getting better. It's nowhere near where the top 4 or 5 teams in the West are, but it's getting better. LeBron knows that. There's some problems in Cleveland. And I don't believe they sweep Detroit. If they do, then maybe they'll be on the same page. I expect Detroit to get at least 1, maybe even 2 games out of the series. Now, on the flip side tonight, we get Golden State. They're going toe-to-toe with Houston. We don't know if Steph Curry's going to play. As far as I have seen, nothing has been announced yet on Steph Curry, and if he's going to be in uniform tonight or not. I wouldn't put him in uniform. Why? The last report I seen on Steph Curry said he did not attend shoot-around. He's still questionable for tonight's game. Golden State can blast Houston without Stephen Curry. Now, I said out of the 1, 2, and 3 teams in the West, I thought Houston could maybe give Golden State a more formidable, I guess, series than, say, the likes of Memphis going up against San Antonio and OKC going up against Dallas, because they have James Harden and Dwight Howard. It doesn't matter. Houston doesn't play a lick of defense. Golden State, if they want to, can score 140 points on Houston, I think, anytime they touch the floor, anytime these two teams share the court. I wouldn't play Stephen Curry tonight. Patrick Beverley's a guy that likes to mix it up. Again, you obviously witnessed that in Game 1. He's a guy that likes to get in your face. He likes to mix it up. Don't put Steph Curry in that environment tonight. And if he does play, play him moderately. I don't even know if you start him. You don't need Steph Curry to beat Houston. You do need Steph Curry to get past the likes of the Clippers, maybe. You definitely need him to get past OKC or San Antonio. You don't need him to get past the Rockets. I wouldn't play him tonight. I would patrol a little bit more on the safe side, and I think that's probably the route that Houston goes, because like I said, Houston knows they're a beaten team already. And a guy like Patrick Beverley, who tried to start something with Steph Curry already in Game 1, well, you smell blood. I remember an interview with Kobe Bryant not that long ago when he was having an index finger problem. And he said constantly, people are swiping at it. And I don't know that you do it intentionally, but it's in the back of your mind. Obviously it is, right? I mean, look at a guy like Tony Romo. Remember we were talking about Tony Romo and D'Angelo Hall? D'Angelo Hall said that he would hit Tony Romo in his ribs if his ribs were sore. Is it fair game? Yeah. I mean, I guess you're out there on the field playing because of injury reports. We know what's wrong with players. I just wouldn't risk Steph Curry tonight. I don't think you need him to protect home court. Golden State was fantastic in Game 1. They're going to be fantastic in Game 2. They score 104 points on Houston. By the way, if you missed Game 1, they didn't even try in the second half. Scored 33 in the first quarter. Scored 27 in the second quarter. The second half was a mere formality for them. Now, there was an interesting stat on Steph Curry. In games that he has not played, the Warriors' field goal percentage has suffered. They're nearly 5 points down, same from the three-point line. That's what happens when you have a guy shooting 50% and he's not on the court. However, this is a talented team. For as great as Steph Curry is, he's the MVP of the league. For as great as he is, front to back, the Golden State Warriors have the best roster in basketball for a reason. It'll be interesting to see if Steve Kerr rolls with Steph Curry tonight. Again, full slate of NBA games. I shouldn't say a full slate. We get three NBA games as Game 2 start picking up. Indiana at Toronto. Toronto trying to avoid that dreaded 0-2 hole after grabbing home court advantage. And then Dallas at OKC. Nightcap, it's Houston and Golden State. We're going to pause for just a moment. When we come back, we're going to put the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports. KOAL 103.9 FM and 750 AM.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Remember these days of the week. Why? Monday through Thursday, KFC and A&W have daily specials for only $3.99. Monday is the Papa Burger. Tuesday, country fried steak. Wednesday, chicken and corn. And of course, Thursday, the famous chicken pot pie. Choose your favorite day of the week, and lunch is only $3.99. At this price, you can even take your coworker to lunch. KFC and A&W, lunch is done.
Do you hear that? The birds singing, trees rustling, and the roaring engine of ATVs hitting the trails. Now that this spring fever is here, I'm ready to hit the trails with the family and blaze through the hills and mountains having a blast. Desert View Federal Credit Union has affordable ATV and RV loans with low interest rates, so our spring recreation fund doesn't have to wait. What better way to spend your spring than riding your new ATV, thanks to Desert View's great ATV and RV loans.
Membership and eligibility apply. Loans on approved credit. Member NCUA.
For over 50 years, News Talk KOAL's Barter Bar has helped listeners buy, sell, and trade from everyday common items to the unusual. You'll hear it on Barter Bar. Holding a yard sale? Looking for furniture? Or want to trade your car? Put it on Barter Bar, online and on air. Barter Bar, a Castle Country tradition. Weekday mornings at 9:30 on News Talk 103.9 FM and 750 AM. KOAL.
People who can afford a LASIK procedure sure are lucky. Imagine being able to throw away your contacts and glasses. Imagine waking up tomorrow with 20/20 vision. Too bad everyone can't afford LASIK. Well, guess what? There's a company that agrees with you. The LASIK Vision Institute is now offering dramatically low prices on high-quality LASIK to make it affordable for everyone. That means you get the latest FDA-approved LASIK technology for a fraction of what others charge. And if you call right now, we'll schedule a free appointment so you can discover if LASIK is right for you. Results may vary. Call 1-800-796-9372. Even better, if you're one of the first 100 callers, ask about an extra 20% discount off our already low-cost services. We've already performed over a million procedures. Let us help you. Discover how you can get the quality LASIK experience you deserve at a fraction of what others charge. For your free appointment, call 1-800-796-9372. 1-800-796-9372.
Hey, let's get back to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on 750 AM, KOAL.
Life in the fast lane, moving at the speed of life, and I can't slow down. Only got a gallon in the gas tank.
I typically get a text message or two during the show each day. This one's from an unknown number. I don't recognize the number. I'll take true toughness over talent any day. Toughness wins. That's a Jay Billis quote. In what regard? That's a vague statement. I mean, if this goes back to Steph Curry and the LeBron James conversation or topic that we just had a minute ago, in what regard? I mean, Tony Allen's one of the toughest defenders that you'll come across in the NBA. He doesn't have the talent of Kawhi Leonard. I'm not taking Tony Allen over Kawhi Leonard. That's a vague statement. Now, as far as availability goes, yeah, availability trumps ability night in and night out. Absolutely. There have been guys that have been fantastic basketball, football, baseball players. They just can't stay healthy. So availability trumps ability. But I also don't buy into the whoever wants it more is going to win motif either. I don't buy that. John Wooden said it best. 90% of the time, the team with the most talent will win. I believe that to be true. Especially in a seven-game series. Rarely does the team that rarely does the inferior opponent win in a seven-game set. Rarely. Now, give me talent. Now, if you can combine toughness and talent together, then maybe, okay, yeah, you're talking. That's something that Kobe Bryant made a living off of. That's something that Michael Jordan, we still talk about the flu game. We still talk about those instances because they were that epic and iconic. So, yes, I get what you're saying. But I mean, give me talent over toughness. Give me talent. Give me talent all day long. But again, availability trumps ability. And tomorrow, speaking of toughness, we're going to be talking about a sport that's pretty tough. UFC 197, it's right around the corner. John Jones is back. First time we have seen John Jones since January of 2015, I believe. He's back. He's not going up against Daniel Cormier. He's going up against St. Preux. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to bring in Larry Pepe. He's going to join us for not one but two segments tomorrow. So if you're gearing up for this weekend's UFC card, make sure you tune in tomorrow. Great insight from Larry Pepe at Pro MMA Radio. With that being said, it was great to get Coach Scott Mattson back on the show today to give us an update on USU Eastern Baseball. We'll continue the conversation on local sports tomorrow. I'm Jordan Buscarini. Be safe. I am out.